Welcome, everybody, to the first episode of Sig Neutron Sputron. This is my podcast. I'm doing it. I've been saying I'm going to do it for so long now, and now I'm doing it. I'll be honest with you guys. I have no idea what this podcast really is or what it will become. I write so many things. I'm always thinking, and I'm always writing stuff down in my phone. And I needed a way to put all that together, I guess, and share it with the world, because I don't know. I don't know why. But hopefully you guys enjoy my weirdness as much as I do. That's sort of a narcissistic thing to say, huh? Now, I just find the real world really boring. And I like to do as many weird things as I can to shake it up. Like, I don't know why everybody's so wrapped up in the idea of normal. What even is normal? I feel like everybody spends their time on Earth just trying to convince everybody else that their view of the world is what's normal. Because to be honest, nobody has all the answers. Not a single person has all the answers. If we don't even know what the purpose of life is, then how is anybody right about what is normal? That's my rant about normalcy. Normalcy, see? For real, though, I grew up in Indiana, and it was pretty Midwestern, and I don't know if you've ever been to the Midwest, you know what I'm talking about. Midwestern sums it up. And I don't know, I just always thought, like, why does everybody have to be so proper and follow all the rules of life? And don't get me wrong, I believe in being a good person, and, you know, some rules are definitely meant to be followed. But I used to get made fun of all the time. Well, there was always a theme for high school dances, and I was the only kid that would dress up as the theme. We had a St. Patty's Day dance, and I sewn, like, my mom helped me, but we, like, sewn. I don't know why that one's tripping me up. We sewed a leprechaun costume, and I went and I made, like, had this red beard and everything, and I loved it, and everybody always made fun of me, but I never cared, because, again, I don't know why people get so wrapped up on what people think of them. In the end, you're not responsible for what other people think. You're just responsible for what you do. If your soul, or whatever you want to call it, is telling you to be weird, then fucking be weird, man. Embrace it. And that's kind of what I'm doing with this podcast. It's all the weird stuff that, man, if I had the resources and the funds, I would totally film feature films and movie trailers and all this stuff, but you know, maybe this will turn into that. But for now, I'll just, I have the means to sit here by myself and talk to myself and do funny voices and make silly songs for you guys. But really, it's for me. So it's unapologetically me, I would say. I don't even know if it'll follow a format. Maybe some episodes I'll just do on a single topic. Some will be kind of like this episode, where it's just going to be all over the place. Maybe I'll break into song sometimes. Maybe I won't. I wish people in the real world broke into song and music backed them up. How great would that be? Also, how weird would the world be if people's arms were slinkies? How do you think technology and everything would differ if everybody's arms were slinkies? That would be terrible. I would not want to find out. Careful what you wish for. Is that your wish? Wishmaster. Love those movies. If you haven't seen them, see them. Seriously, a lawyer fucks himself. Literally. Wishmaster 2, I think. That's another point. I'm also going to do movie recommendations, music recommendations. Growing up in the Midwest, I had a lot of time to just dive in to find the weird things that called to me. And I want to share those things with you guys, too. Basically, it's a podcast about encouraging being weird and embracing it. Honestly, I think the key to most successful creative people that are revolutionary is the fact that they never forgot what it's like to be a kid. They never lost that kid imagination. You know, people always ask me, like, where do you get your ideas and where do you come up with this stuff? And to that, I honestly think it's just because I never grew up. The world is still a magical place to me. Well, it's the world itself is not magical, but the things you can create are magic. And I think some people forget that. As we grow up, I think reality just beats the magic out of us, and then we just accept things for how it is. You know, when you're a kid, you don't have to worry about rent or adult things, and the world is a magical place, because you believe in a guy, like one guy delivers presents all across the world. And you seriously, legitimately believe that. And I think that that's pretty magical. I like to believe all my sleazy, crazy aliens, they're actually out there somewhere. And they're just as fucked up as humans, because that's the things that alien movies never show about aliens, is that they're seriously just as fucked up. as people. You know they would be, because people are fucked up. But, well, I guess here, yeah, this is why I call it Sputron, because I just start rambling about topics. But without further ado, let's get this show started. Welcome to Sig Neutron,
Sleazy Sputron.
Hello, 8-bit breakdown. Leave a lot of lonely motherfuckers.
This episode of Sig Neutron Sputron brought to you by Utter Nuts.
Utter Nuts. Light the teat. Milk it.
Utter Nuts. So, what I've been up to lately? Usually I like to start the show with that, I guess. I don't know, this is the first show I'm doing, so we're starting with that. Most recently, we just got Super Smash Brothers, which I love. It's everything I ever wanted and remember from the old Smash Brothers. Ah, it's so nostalgic. I had to buy the GameCube controller, and now that I got it, it's like my fingers just remember everything. These nostalgic wigglies don't forget. But I love it. I love everything about it, except for that fucking song. You can't unhear it. It haunts your nightmares. It haunts your dreams. You start singing it in everything you do. Does that happen to anybody else too? Is it just seeped into your very psyche and it won't leave you alone? Because it's done that to me. But I love the game. I recommend it. You should get it. It's really fun. I'm not as good at it as I used to be, but I'm working on that. I said as a kid I was going to be the world's best Jigglypuff player. This is like back in N64 days. And now I have a chance to prove it. Because games can actually be played online now. The future is now. Besides that, Tupac Shakur, he just had surgery. Yes, that's our dog's name. Yes, he's a corgi. And yes, he does have an Instagram. Thank you for asking. It's at Tupac Shakur. TupacShakurgi. He is the OG Shakur. But it was a lipoma. It was benign, so that's good. Surgery went well, except now he's in recovery and he's got the cone of shame. And he's doing so well that we actually have to stop him from jumping around and running around, which is good, but also makes me feel like the biggest dick in the world. He just keeps finding his toys and he brings them up to me and he's like, giving me those eyes, like he's ready to play. And then I have to just take his toy away and then put it somewhere where he can't get it. And he just looks at me like he's Bambi and I just shot his mom and I just feel like the worst person ever.
You just steal all the joy out of my life, Dad. Why? What did I do to you? I just love you so much, Dad. I don't know what I did.
That's what he does. And I hate it. Speaking of things I hate, here's... Seriously, who fucking does that? How many times are you watching a movie and you see somebody do something and you're like, who fucking does that? It happens to me all the time. The main thing, I think, like the single most thing that people do in movies that I'm always like, who fucking does that, is when they wake up in the middle of the night and throw water on their face to like snap out of it or something. Who fucking does that? Who wakes up in the middle of the night to like in a cold, clammy sweat and is like, oh, I'm so cold and clammy from my nightmare. I guess I should splash more water on my face. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Apparently there's people out there that do that because somebody wrote it into a film and people keep writing it into films. So if you're one of those people that do that, I don't know, send me a message. Let's interview people that splash water on their faces at night to understand these weird people. Another thing that people do in movies that really bothers me, and I've actually seen people do this in real life, which really bothers me, is when you cut your finger, why do you fucking stick it in your mouth? Who does that? It's fucking weird and it's fucking gross, and I don't like it. Who? Why? Why would you immediately stick it in your germy-ass mouth after cutting your finger? Like, sucking the blood or something? Like, I did. I've come to suck my own finger, blah. Shout out to all you finger vamps out there. You're fucking weird. When I'm, like, ranting or talking shit about something, you guys should know that, actually, I really don't care. I like to poke fun at just how bizarre everything is. I kind of just like to revel in the absurd nature of existence. So to sum it up, yeah, I'm talking shit on people sometimes, but also I think you're pretty great for being weird, so balances out. In the wise words of the great Dave Chappelle, it's funny because it's mean. You know what's not funny, though, is how everyone seems to have lost their sense of humor. Think about comedy like 5 years ago. Just like 5 years ago. It was a completely different world. And then you go back even further and, man, you watch some of those old movies and people would blow a gasket if those movies came out today. I don't even think they would be made. Now, I'm all for being PC and in certain situations and respectful of people, but, man, I got my limit. People consistently are just pushing further and further past any bounds of comedy or anything. It's just a bunch of crybabies. Get over it, man. There's enough real life terrible things in the world that you shouldn't be getting your manties in a wad over some fucking jokes. Jokes are supposed to make people happy. You know what else makes people happy? It's tiny things. The tiny thing phenomena. Man, I had to get some paint to paint cigarettes for the holiday orders that we have. And I go to KitKraft. The paint's right in the front. I picked it up and I was like, yep, they got it. But, you know, I got a little extra time. Why don't I browse around a little bit? Yeah, this is dual. This is dual browsing, you know. That's what I says to myself. Because I says things to myself a lot. So I put the paint back. And I'm walking around the store. It's KitKraft, so it's like a... They have miniature things. And I love miniature things. I don't know why. Oh god, those like miniature food videos. Oh my god. I can't like stop watching them because you're just watching them make the food and you're like, oh, there's a little tiny little pan on a tiny little flame and they're using a tiny little spoon to mix it, like a tiny little spoon. It's so adorable. Why is tiny things adorable? And then you're like, man, I wish I could see like a tiny little man with tiny little hands eat the tiny little food. And then they fucking one-up you. And then they bring out like a tiny little hedgehog man with tiny little hands to eat that thing, which is infinitely cuter than a tiny little human man. And then they just have all the covers based. They have all the bases covered. They have all the covers based. Yes. I'm going to start saying that instead. Anyways, back to KitKraft. I'm walking around, and what do I spot? What befalls mine eyes? Tiny fucking cowboy hats. In all kinds of colors. In at least three different colors. And at least three different sizes. So, naturally, I have to buy all the tiny cowboy hats I can. So, I do that. I do just that. And when I get home, I realized I didn't even buy the paint that I was supposed to buy when I went in there. I was so upset because that was going to take like another 2 hours there and back if I were to go back and get the paint. I was so upset. But then I put just one of those tiny cowboy hats on one of my sculptures. And you know what? It was fucking worth it.
Like, what's the deal with this tiny cowboy hat? Like, I don't get it.
Fuck you. Fuck Trump. Yeah. Not like that. Fuck everything. Fuck my rent.
Yeah,
fuck society. Fuck my boss.
She's
fuck responsibility. All I need are my tiny cowboy hats. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not
wow.
five, not six, not seven, not eight. They're so tiny.
They're great.
Fuck cornflakes.
Like gag me with a balloon.
Tiny cowboy hats.
Ow.
It's
Speaking of mistakes at the store, I went to the grocery store and I was trying to get shiitake mushrooms, and accidentally I picked up the shit-talking mushrooms. I honestly feel like I'm going to regret opening this, but let's find out.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Way to rip the fucking bag, you cheesy gordita butt munch. Don't you know if you open it from the back, you can reseal it? Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh boy, did I screw up.
Screw up? Oh, the mere fact that you were born was a screw up.
Hey, easy now.
Easy? Your mom's fucking easy.
Whoa, hey, unfucking called for. My mom is a saint.
What, like the saint of... birth and boobs. your boob.
Okay, all right, everybody. I think it's time for a break.
I need a break from your fucking yammering.
Okay, we'll be right back, everybody.
Creamy. Milky. Nuts. Utter nuts. The nuts that are utterly nutty. Next time you're looking for nuts with that salty, milky flavor you crave, just reach around all those other nuts and get your hands on a bag of utter nuts. The nuts you can't wait to milk.
Welcome back, everybody. I had to deal with the shit-talking mushrooms, but that didn't go very well. They just scattered before I got them back in the bag, so...
We're gonna stab you in your eyes while you sleep, dick snot.
What was that? Fucking A. Anyways, moving on. So, this next part of the show, I've always just loved learning dumb, useless shit. So, now I'm gonna share some of that weird shit that I found with you guys so you can know dumb shit, too, in a segment that I like to call...
Dumb bullshit you can know, and it won't change your life, and it won't pay your taxes, and it won't call your grandma when you should, and it won't fix your drinking problem, but it might make you look cool at a party.
Give them digits. Did you know that the People's Court theme was actually originally in 1970s porn films? Seriously, look it up, for real. from what I can tell, I've been looking it up, and it looks like it's in a couple different porn films. Somebody's saying it was in the threesome scene in Debbie Does Dallas. I gotta check that out and see if that's invalidate that for, you know, research purposes. Yeah, it's super crazy. When I found that out because I was actually, I was looking up 70s porn music because to actually write the Utter Nuts song, and that led me down the rabbit hole of so much amazing music. 70s porn music is amazing, so I highly recommend, just go to YouTube, type in 1970s porn music, and listen to any of the playlists they got going on. It's actually super good, all like breakbeats and funky-ish shit. So now you know that, and you know that you should listen to 70s porn music. Something else I've always been fascinated about for some reason is animal group names. Anybody else out there? Well, if not, I'm gonna read some for you because I think they're super fun and interesting. I want to be the guy that came up with animal group names. Or, oh yeah, I guess they're all kind of taken now. Well, I wanted to be that guy. Well, here we go. Here's some animal group names for your enjoyment. A group of apes is called a shrewdness. Get down, or get down with the shrewdness. Everybody knows a group of crows is a murder, which is pretty badass. I think I read somewhere that a group of bats is a cauldron, like a cauldron of bats. That one might need verification, but I think it's pretty badass. I'm gonna start saying a cauldron of bats. A group of bears is called a sloth. Well, then what's a group of sloths called? A bear of sloths? Inquiring minds want to know. Oh, here's a good one. So a group of cobras is called a quiver. A quiver of cobras makes you shiver. At least it would me, because I'm fucking terrified of snakes. Snakes and spiders, oh my. But I never kill spiders, because I love, you know, I feel like I'm accruing some kind of karmic, like spider karma, where they won't attack me in my sleep, because they, you know, they tell their friends, oh yeah, that guy just put me outside, so, you know, he's all right. You know, let him be. Don't bite his face while he's sleeping, or leave your babies in his cheek, so when he takes a bath, it explodes and, like, goes all over his face. Yeah, save that for the other girl. The one in the spooky stories, you know. So a group of donkeys is a drove. Donkeys come in droves. Look out, it's a drove of donkeys.
get my shotgun. We got a drove of donkeys over here.
A group of eagles is a convocation. That sounds like they're up to some like nefarious eagle shit. Like,
welcome to the convocation of eagles. We'll summon a great dark feathery lord. All we ask is a blood sacrifice, for we are a convocation of eagles.
Or they get together, the convocation of like bald eagles. They just get together and talk about how sad they are to be bald. A group of falcons is called a cast. Okay. A group of ferrets is called a business. That's a business of ferrets. What nefarious business are they up to? Nefarious ferrets and your business. Group of fish is called a school. We all know that. A group of flamingos is called a stand. And I feel like whoever came up with that had some humor there, because you know they stand on one leg. A group of foxes is called a charm. That's kind of adorable. Ooh, a group of frogs is an army. We have an army of frogs. Oh, and of course a gaggle of geese. Groups of giraffes are a tower. We have a tower of giraffes. That'd be kind of fun to see. Oh my god, a group of gorillas is called a band. It's a band of gorillas. That is a band. With a Z. Oh, and now I'm just learning the plural of hippopotamus is hippopotami, according to this article. It's a bloat, a cackle of hyenas. A shadow of jaguars. Oh, that sounds scary. Oh my god, a smack of jellyfish. Smack my fish up. A troop or a mob of kangaroos. A conspiracy of lemurs. Oh, as they are plotting humanity's demise for sure. I mean, look at them. A leap of leopards. Eight leopards leaping. A pride of lions. We all know that one. Yeah. A labor of moles, monkeys. A barrel or a troop. A family of otters. Well, that's boring. Ooh, a parliament of owls. Dude, a group of parrots is called a pandemonium. A pandemonium of parrots. That sounds like pandemonium in itself. A group of porcupines is called a prickle. A prickle of porcupines. How adorable is that? Rabbits come in herds. Rats come in colonies. And ravens come as in an unkindness. It's an unkindness of ravens. A murder of crows and an unkindness of ravens. Okay. Oh, did you know it's a crash of rhinoceroses? Rhinoceroses, I guess, is the plural. Oh, shit. So it's a shiver of sharks. Well, shiver me fucking timbers. Oh, do you think that's where that saying comes from? I don't know. Maybe I'll look that up. You know what? Let's do that right now, because I'm recording. I just pause it and then I'll look that up. So, you know what? I'm going to look that up. Well, turns out, according to Wikipedia, the phrase is based on real nautical slang and is a reference to the timbers, which are wooden support frames of a sailing ship. In heavy seas, ships would be lifted up and pounded down so hard as to shiver the timbers, startling the sailors. I bet sometimes it shivered the timbers on a shiver of sharks. Whoa, that's like some sweet ass fucking Sally sold seashells down by the seashore shit. Can't even say it. That's how we do it on Sputron. One thing leads to another. All right, back to our animal names. You got a gang of turkeys. Just imagine them in the back alley, just like with a switchblade. Yeah, you fucked up. This is the turkey alley. Yeah, we're gonna fucking waddle your face off, motherfucker. You're in our neck of the woods. Yeah, I just made a neck joke, because turkey didn't shut up. A turtles is a bale or a nest of turtles. Weasels come in a colony, a gang, or a pack. Whales come in a pod, a school, or a gam. A gam of whales. A gam of whales. Whale. And zebras is a zeal of zebras. That just sounds beautiful. So I was reading off lists of names for groups of animals from an article that's at grammaryourdictionary.com. So I guess we'll source things if I'm just going to read them from the intronet. I don't know how to properly source things. I think that's something they taught me in school. But you know what? I feel like mentioning it is good enough, right? Well, and there's some dumb bullshit for you. Tune in next time for more dumb bullshit. This next segment, in honor of my late and great dear friend, John Schnepp, I like to call Get Wrecked, Son. And it's where I give you recommendations for movies, music, and, I don't know, other genuinely oddball stuff that I've found and you definitely should check out. So here we go. Wouldn't it be great if there was a movie that existed that was about an 80s hair metal band that was traveling through the backwoods country and then ended up staying the night with these weirdo family, and then you find out the family is actually Hitler, and there's like a werewolf grandma with switchblades, and then they straight up kill the band, but then the band gets brought back because of one of their sweet fucking bass riffs that he found in a book somewhere, and then they come back as hard rock zombies to fight Hitler and his gang of family freaks. Oh, that movie does exist, and it's called Hard Rock Zombies, and I absolutely suggest that you go check it out. It's a 1985 horror film directed by Krishna Shah, and from what I found out about Krishna, seems they directed like Bollywood films before, so this movie has a super bizarre Bollywood feel to it. Lots of cutaways and like montages over music, and it's you gotta see it. It's one of my favorite films of all time, and you're gonna find out that I'm gonna say favorite of all time all the time, because I don't know, I guess I have a lot of favorites of all time. Next up is a film, a Japanese film called Survive Style 5 Plus. I don't even know where you can get this film. I had to get it some weird bootleg copy. I'm not sure if they've even released it yet. But I don't even want to give anything away about this film. You just have to watch it. It's that weird. It's basically five stories that sort of all intertwine together. It was directed by Gen Sekiguchi, and it stars Tadanobu Asano. It has Sonny Chiba in it and Vinnie Jones. Super bizarre. It's shot beautifully. It's just bonkers. And if you've seen on my Twitch, my follow thing with the bird dad, that's everybody always asks where that gif comes from, and it comes from that. Check it out, Survive Style 5 Plus. If you can find it, I don't know, but I guess things are a lot easier to find nowadays, but I'm not very tech savvy, so I'm sure you guys can manage. Next up, we have Wild Zero. It is a phenomenal rock and roll film about one of my favorite bands. Well, it's not about them, but they're in it. They star in it. It's Guitar Wolf, and it's like a psychobilly, rockabilly, rock and roll zombie film that just gets so bonkers. And the band itself, Guitar Wolf, is so bonkers. I love them so much. We actually saw them live for my birthday one time. I used to have reoccurring dreams. So during their live shows, the lead singer always pulls somebody up and lets him play his guitar. And I used to dream that I was always me. And the day came when it was finally time to go see them live. And I was so stoked. And then he was looking around the crowd and I knew what he was going to do. And I'm like right in the front and I'm trying to get it. And then he grabs some dude right next to me and pulls him up. And I was so sad. I was so sad about it. But later on, I got pulled up on stage, and I was the bottom of the pyramid. And there's some photos there. It was that was a good time. We couldn't hear for like 3 days straight afterwards because they're really heavy on the feedback. That's like one of their things. I mean, Randy and I thought we were permanently deaf. It was kind of scary. So wonder I didn't develop tinnitus. But anyways, the movie stars them and as themselves, and it's just zombie insanity. Wild Zero. You have to check it out. Just to give you an idea of how ridiculous this film is, the DVD comes with a drinking game that shows a little beer mug at the bottom whenever you're supposed to drink. And if I can remember correctly, which I don't remember a lot after I played that game, is you're supposed to take a drink every time a flame shoots out of something, every time someone's head explodes, every time someone says rock and roll, and at any time someone combs their hair. And there might be a few other ones, but yeah, that you get smashed playing that. I don't even think I remember the end of the movie half the time. Also, check out Guitar Wolf's music if you like grungy rock and roll feedback noise. They're also in another film, which I recommend checking out, called Sore Losers. It's even older than Wild Zero, I think. And they play bounty hunters that just show up out of nowhere. They just sort of have a cameo role, but that's a real like psychobilly, rockabilly, fun film to check out. Sore Losers. Look it up. Well, that's all the recs I have for you this episode, but man, I got recs for days, so keep tuning in and I will keep giving you all the weird shit that you need to watch or listen to or whatever else you want to do with it, I guess. Every episode, I'm going to include some excerpts from the Encyclopedia Shitanica, which is the compendium of all things Sig Neutron and Bizarro Agogo. If you don't know what Bizarro Agogo is, go to bizarroagogo.com. That's A-U-G-O-G-O. It's just me and Randy Rodill, we put together like the most insane coffee table photography book ever. The Encyclopedia Shitanica explains everything about all the creatures and inhabitants of our crazy world. So enjoy! Thank you.
tonight on Encyclosleasia Shatanica. Craptulons. Rowdy, nihilistic, and perpetually drunk, Craptulons are among the most homely denizens of the universe. The only sober Craptulon is a dead Craptulon. While they require nothing but alcohol for sustenance, they do have a certain affinity for Balenia and 80s Earth hair metal. Not that such a thing as hair metal could be considered sustenance, but they would nonetheless die without it. It's rumored that Joey Tempest wrote the final countdown after Europe was abducted by Craptulons, who promptly returned the band after they stole all the play from the hot female inhabitants of Venus while en route to the Craptulons' home planet of Moloch. Life on Moloch is one of complete anarchy, but that's not to say that it is chaotic. Most Craptulons have a generally non-violent, though obtrusive, disposition. They are just much too slosh to even attempt to form something such as social order or daily hygiene routines. Rules are opinions, and if there is a dispute, the rule that comes from the lips of the bigger Craptulon is followed. Although size is not always a determining factor, a broken bottle shank to the eye can also have a Craptulon seeing your way. Quite instantaneously, in fact. Pregnant Craptulon females are highly feared, for not only are they completely unpredictable what with being hopped up on the baby crazies, but they have an even more insatiable appetite for alcohol. One pregnant female can dry up an entire alcohol spring, but hey, she's drinking for two, right? Fortunately, Craptulon pregnancy only lasts the equivalent of one Earth day. It goes without saying that procreation is highly discouraged on Moloch. Not that any Craptulon would want offspring anyway. Family life is unheard of in Craptulon culture. Craptulon birth is likened to that of a large bowel movement, after which baby Craptulons, or crappies, end up in the sewer living off Craptulon excrement until the day they mature and emerge from the bowels of Moloch. It's said that some crappies never come back to the surface. Craptulons get their alcohol supply from the many alcohol springs that can be found around Moloch. After it became widely known that Earthlings have a knack for brewing alcohol, Earth alcohol, a precious commodity on Moloch, especially with gangs like the Pissheads constantly trying to monopolize the supply. With the constant consumption of alcohol and the occasional Bologna, Craptulon piss is extremely volatile, and somehow has a higher proof than the alcohol that went in. Realizing Craptulons are just walking redistilleries, space entrepreneur and all-around scumbag, nutpee dugouts, cashed in on this phenomena after began bottling it and selling it under the guise Dugouts Piss Fire Hooch. It remains the most potent alcoholic drink in the universe. And that was the Craptulon excerpt from the Encyclopedia Shatanica. Thank you and good night.
Boy, do I love Craptulons. That's actually the first alien race I came up with when I came up with the whole Signutron universe. And I actually have Jackie Danhans, the very first creature, the Craptulon, tattooed on my arm by Cecil Porter. Fun fact. Now, I distinctly remember promising story time, so without further ado, let's get to the first bit of story in the Skellabang Kid saga. I'm really excited about this, and it's very heavily influenced by my love of Bravestar. I don't know if you guys remember that cartoon, but my brother got me into it. It's like cowboys in space, and I love it. So Skellabang Kid is my sort of homage to that, but also my original take on those influences. So enjoy this as well. That was dumb to say. Enjoy. Or fucking whatever. Here we go.
Episode 1. The Log of a Prone Nature.
Howdy, y'all. How's about you dust off them britches and open up them hearing holes for an old-fashioned newfangled tale? Now, I expect no yawning while I'm spinning my yarn. So it all starts, I think, back in 1899. Suppose it ain't too important, any says. Anyways, on a quiet hunk of rock, quite like any other hunk of rock, except for the fact this hunk of rock ain't gonna be quiet for too much longer. This here rock was inhabited by a race of aliens called the Griff. They's a kind folk, kept to their own, lived off the land. They even had clean, green machines of their own. You earth fellers and gals might say they look like creatures of an avian-type nature. Things was good for them. But all that changed once Nat P. Duggett set his sights on these quaint, quiet, and most certainly quintessential little rock. See, old Nat P. was an intergalactic tycoon, owning everything from soda pop companies to planet-devastating weaponry. Ain't the likes you want to turn over to his bad side, you catch my whiff? Oops. Now, he had plans for Griff's Rock. He's going to turn that chunk of space dirt into Amusement Planet. Rides, games, fun as your eye jealous could jiggle. Problem is, see, Griff's already be inhabiting that planet. Old Slimy Nat P paid no heed, mind you. He sent his own personal paramilitary platoons down there to run them off their own land. Now them Griffs, they sure put up a fight. But on account of them being outgunned by Nat P's slew of new-fangled technology, they's run off to the outer corners of the planet while Duggett set about constructing his amusement pleasurable planet. Nat P set up a home base wherein they landed and called it Centropolis. Now, you can't build an amusement planet without a muse, so with that, beings of all shapes and sizes came to the populating planet to find their fertile fortune and make an honest living for themselves. Now, things was lawful in Centropolis, but as the building began to expand, Griff territory began to unspand. Naturally, these Griffs didn't like too much, and there's plenty of squabbling. Them towns out there on the edge of expansion, now them's there was frontier towns. Lucy Lawless, far as them jellies a wiggle. All kind of fortuitous folk came to this planet, and ain't all of them the savory sort. Bosses began to spring up and rob dugouts transport vehicles, and they didn't stop there. In fact, they'd rob just about anything with a willie to jiggle and a pot to piss in. Which brings me to our heroist herald. The Skillabang Kid and Co. Hoo-ha! Skillabang Kid and Co. were different than most other run-of-the-mill do. Now, by no means was they good, but they did have a code, and that's more than I can say for all them other brash banditos. The Skillabang crew specifically robbed only Nat P. The way they figured it, frontier folk had enough on their hands what with fighting off bandits and the Griff. Skillabang Kid and Co. were a cream de la cream legendary, straight from the teachings teat. Folk wrote novels about them, sensationalized all they most cadaver-filled capers and cavernous contingencies. You could say they up and came somewhat of folk heroes, scoring big and living it up in they's hideout, Tarnation. Funny thing is, no one ever could find Tarnation. Some folk don't even believe it ever done existed. Say they gave all their haul to the poor frontiers folk like some kind of modern-day bobbin goods. Truth is, no one knows. And for long, another quite distracting set of circumstances was about to befall the beings of Centropolis. Quite literally, I might add. And slowly, people began to forget about all the torrid tales of the troubled past, for they had a taller problem staring them smack dab square in the derriere saying, "I triple dog dare you." The Slagatrons. Now the Slagatrons are some teetotaling tamales ain't no one want to go toe-to-toe with. Best just tiptoe around them transgressive and by all means terrifying Tanyas. He's a big old mix of lady flesh and carnivorous computer chips with a bad attitude. Want nothing more than to eradicate all life of a masculinely machismic nature if you're catching my whiff. Folks say them Tanyas is run by a supercomputer with a neurological slapping sensibility. In other words, they can talk to each other with them computer brains. All that tech and man-hating anger gotta be powered some ways, don't it? And boy, that hate burns just about as bright as the geologic center of a hunk of rock just like the one you're spinning on. In fact, that's exactly what they want. Slagatrons crashed to land their hunk-junk ships on a planet and it bore straight down to its core. Now them ships act like a big old genie with a henny, sucking that there planetary power and beaming that there energy with the synergy to they's mothership, ever that may be. Now where you guess them old slags landed one of them there ships? Yep, that's right. Smack dab on old Centropolis. With a big old mighty green glow like a whiff right out of God himself's righteous halibung hole, they laid right into that there planet. They isn't too nice with it either. Most centrally located bits of Centropolis was smashed to bits, then drilled down through. Turned parts closest to that into just about a crispy cascade of crud. Parts next to that was hit with a rippling raid of radiation. Being account of that slag power being of a strange green nature, it blasted them poor folks that's running away with a burn the likes of 1,000 ass whoopings from 1,000 ass whoopers. Gave their skin a greenish hue, all nice and bubbly like. You earth folk might know of a certain preserved cucumberus. Yep, a pickle. And just like that, the picklebacks came into being. These poor folk just blob about getting blobbier and hobblier and most certainly slobbier. And boy, howdy, they reek of vinegar and shit. Shit! Ain't got nothing clever to say there other than vinegar and shit. Ugh! Now, them slags is angry, but they ain't dumb. Free labor is the cheapest when it's forced. And ain't nothing cheaper than free labor, so says. So slags set about enslaving most everything next to they's generator ship. Forcing them into shantytown with just about nothing but they maintenance on. But time went by and all them picklebacks settled into some sort of meager but present existence. Slags ain't bothered too much by all them folk out yonder ways from they ship. All they care about is keeping that genie flowing forth with that energy. But that old slag radiation, now that started seeping out all over the planet. All kinds of weird mutations start to spring up in the planet folk. Even machinery started acting all funny, some of it becoming sentient. So a land with no law came even more lawless, if you can believe it. With old Nat P abandoning his pleasure planet, them people had no ways of getting off that hunk of rock. And no means of protecting what belonged to them. They too had to find a way to get by. A plan I'd forgotten. Heroes a thing of the past? Hell, they never might have existed at all. That right there, this moment in time, is where my yarn truly begins to yarn. Ain't no one know for sure what life the Skellabang Kid lived, but I can sure as shit talk a mushroom and tell you how he lived after he died. Find out next time on The Skellabang Kid, episode.
And that, ladies, gentlemen, and every wonderful person in between, was episode one of Signeutron Sleazy Sputron. Thank you for joining me, and if you like what I'm doing, please rate, download, comment, all the things on wherever you get your podcasts, because I hear that helps out. I'm new to this podcast game, so tell your friends about it, you know, if you dug it. Even if you didn't dug it. Can you dug it? Definitely appreciate any support and spreading the word because I really want to make this a thing. And I guarantee you it's only going to get weirder from here. Lots more stories to tell. Lots more goofs to goof. Geefs to goof. I don't know. But you can find me on the social medias at SigNeutron on Instagram, Twitter. Also, the main thing I'm doing right now, also besides the podcast, is Twitch. So please, I'm just SigNeutron on Twitch. SigNeutron on Twitch. Twitch.tv/SigNeutron. That's a big thing that I'm doing right now. And I definitely appreciate any follows there. It's almost like I do a lot of sculpting. I do some makeups. We're going to do some karaoke stuff. I got all these weird game shows coming up. And most of it's live. Actually, in fact, all of it's live. Because that's the point of Twitch. definitely give me a follow over there. I keep saying definitely a lot. Hope you enjoyed Sig Neutron Sputron. Also, if you got any questions, feedback, or whatever, send me an email, signeutron@gmail.com. I'm going to do a segment with user questions. If there's a topic you want me to spew about, let me know. If you got something to say to what I've already said, let me know that too. I want to hear from you guys. Interaction, you know? Thank you and good night. I don't know. I need some cool outro saying. I don't know. Maybe I'll find one at some point. But for now,
I bid you good evening.
I said good day, sir.
No, that's... I don't know. We'll find it eventually.